Press TV headlines, another NATO base comes under Taliban attack in Afghanistan. America paying worst price, two more U.S. troops die in Iraq. Scientists warn the U.S. oil spill will have global consequences. Also on Press TV, seven people survive India's deadly plane crash. It is 2100 GMT and 1:30 a.m. here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. Welcome to this edition of Press TV's World News. Well, Taliban have attacked NATO's main military base in southern Afghanistan, forcing the troops into security lockdown. It is the second such attack on a major NATO base in the past few days. A NATO spokesman says at least five rockets have been fired into the Kandahar airbase. There are no reports of casualties yet. The airfield is the main base, housing around 23,000 forces. On Wednesday, Taliban had launched an attack on Bagram airbase just outside the capital, Kabul. Hours-long battle resulted in the deaths of an American contract worker and more than a dozen Taliban militants. Three foreign soldiers and one civilian working with NATO have been killed in Afghanistan. Two of the slain soldiers are reportedly of French and Dutch nationalities. According to the alliance, the three soldiers were killed in two separate incidents in southern Afghanistan. Some 215 foreign soldiers have been killed in the country since the beginning of 2010. The U.S. and its allies are planning to deploy additional troops in the war-torn country. The new deployment will increase the number of foreign troops in Afghanistan to 150,000. Elsewhere, two front runners on the contest for British Labour Party leadership have declared they were against the invasion of Iraq. Farina Alam tells us more in this report.
Critics have described the contest to find Gordon Brown's candidates are all male, white and privileged. Last week, however, Diane Abbott, once Britain's first black female MP, threw her name into the hat. She is unlikely to win, but her candidacy does make the race more interesting. So what could the frontrunners do to stand out? Well, at least two have created a storm this weekend by declaring they had been against the Iraq war all along. Outside a conference held by Progress, which describes itself as a new Labour pressure group, journalist Paul Richards told Press TV he's cynical about the timing.
People know who was for and who was against the war, and those that were against, several of them resigned at the time and made their stand. Those that didn't carried on inside the government, and actually they're not stupid Labour Party members. They will work out this is a perhaps quite grubby attempt to get some votes.
Ed Ball's former cabinet minister and a close associate of Brown was the first to break ranks. He said the Iraq war was simply wrong. Then Ed Miliband, the younger brother of former Foreign Secretary David Miliband, said the war had led to a catastrophic loss of trust in Labour.
All those years ago, millions marched on the streets of Britain against the Iraq war. But it's 2010 now. The troops are out and the issue just isn't as burning as it used to be. But for a Labour Party looking for new beginnings, this could be a vote winner. Ed Miliband's comments on the Iraq war put him at odds with his brother David and Andy Burnham. Both are candidates too in the Labour leadership contest and both voted for the war. Ed Miliband wasn't an MP at the time and was in fact in the United States. He says he remembers thinking the lead up to the war lacked due process.
Each of the candidates were intimately involved at the highest possible levels within the party, within the government. The idea they just simply weren't involved and were somewhere else doesn't stack up. And they were advising the politicians or then MPs while the war was being prosecuted. So it's hard for them, even that generation, to put a line underneath it because they were so involved at the time themselves.
The Labour Party leadership contest runs until September this year, when the winner will be announced at the party's annual conference. Farina Alam, Press TV, London.
Well, the U.S. military has announced the deaths of two of its soldiers in Iraq. One of them has been killed near Iraq's northern city of Mosul on Friday. The military says the other died of injuries he sustained on Thursday. The military statement gave no details of how the troopers died. The latest deaths bring the number of U.S. fatalities in Iraq to 4,399 since the U.S.-led invasion in 2003. Well, Kevin Sanders is the director of the War and Peace Foundation in New York. He says the death of U.S. troops off base shows they violated an earlier agreement with Baghdad.
The combat operations violated the earlier deal signed between Washington and Baghdad, under which the movement of the American troops would be not be unilateral and would be confined otherwise to the bases. Now, these deaths occurred quite literally off base, and that's interesting. And so one assumes that at any given time the military is up to something that is not revealed, or this so-called dark or secret or black operations. Such operations obviously have continued in Iraq, and probably, and again one can only guess because there's a complete lack of other information, but the guess, I think, an informed and educated guess would suggest that probably it has something to do with oil. That is to say that at any given time, the American government wants to have military observers or people present or people active as close as possible to the centers of oil.
Well, in other news, American scientists have warned that wildlife in Europe and the Arctic will also suffer from the oil spill disaster in the Gulf of Mexico. They say the oil spill is contributing to a potential ecological disaster of unknown proportions. Millions of gallons of oil has been gushing into the ocean from a well that exploded last month. U.S. President Barack Obama has appointed an independent commission to investigate the oil spill. Its main task is to provide guidelines on how to prevent any future spills resulting from offshore drilling. The massive slick has reached Louisiana coast and is threatening Florida and Cuba.
How's it going?
How you doing, guys?
We're looking for shrimp. Y'all selling shrimp?
That's funny.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Up until a month ago, these fishermen were out catching fish and shellfish in the waters of Plaquemines Parish. These days, they're hired by oil giant BP to clean up miles and miles of oil after one of the company's rigs exploded on April 20th.
I don't know. That's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I don't like it, but we ain't got nothing else to do because all the shrimp seasons are closed, so we do the best we can with what we can do.
Every day, hundreds of fishermen turn cleaning crew pile onto boats to lay reels of white and orange booms. But oil is still being seen creeping over and beneath these barriers, reaching the delicate marshes and coastline.
We miss a lot, but what I miss, the next boat behind me will come back and get.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, we're constantly making circles on it, picking it up again and again and again until it's all gone.
With fishing largely shut down along the Gulf Coast and shrimping now closed everywhere, employment with BP is the only option on the table for many. But not everyone is able to get out and clean oil. Peter Young races us through narrow waterways before settling into a small oil-soaked bay. He does not work for BP and may not be able to go fishing for years.
I try to be so optimistic. I have been optimistic until last week. I don't know. I truly don't. I mean, this is my livelihood. This is what I've been doing for the last 18 years, is fishing right here, this old lighthouse out here. I mean, I made a lot of money, and it's just what I support my family with.
But even when the no fishing zones open, customers may question the safety of one of America's most productive fisheries for many years to come.
I don't even like the way you sound. I don't even like the way that sounded. you know, I mean, we have truly world-class fishing here. I mean, right now, the fish are biting. You know, I'm catching a lot of trout, a lot of redfish, you know, in the safe zones way north of here. You know, I have to go a lot further than I normally go to somewhat make a living.
For many watermen across the Gulf Coast, waiting is now a way of life. Waiting to see where the oil will sit. Waiting for crab and ship zones to reopen. Waiting to make a living. Susan Madaris, Press TV, New Orleans, Louisiana.
Nearly 160 people have died in a plane crash in the Indian city of Mangalore. Seven passengers have miraculously survived the crash. Here's a report.
The Air India Express plane overshot the hilltop runway as it tried to land.
It then split in half and burst into flames in a forested valley. The Boeing 737 was carrying 160 passengers and six crew members on a flight from Dubai. Firefighters got to the scene of the crash and the rescue operation began within minutes. Seven survivors had already jumped out of the plane through a hole.
So flight land okay, wait time before.
When the plane landed, the tire burst at the same time. We did not even get a second. The tire burst as soon as the plane landed and the plane went toward the forest. Within a few seconds, there was a blast and the plane was filled with smoke and there was total chaos. A part of the plane broke off and I could see trees through the smoke. I jumped out from there.
There were up to 20 children on board. A young child who was pulled alive from the wreckage later died from severe burns in a Mangalore hospital. India's air safety record has been good in the past decade, despite a rapid increase in the number of private airlines and air travel in the country. The last major crash happened in the city of Patna in July 2000, killing at least 50 people.
You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. Another NATO base comes under Taliban attack in Afghanistan. America paying war's price, two more U.S. troops die in Iraq. Scientists warn the U.S. oil spill will have global consequences. Also, seven people survive India's deadly plane crash.